coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen, joined by the big guy is back, Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, congratulations. How you doing, my man? You look spry.
I don't know how to answer that. What are you? Spry.
So thank you.
Thank you. That's all I can say.
There you go.
That's exactly right. But you guys did a great job last week. Tracy and I got a chance to listen in, and, boy, it's a great to hear you guys, and it's great to be here this morning.
Well, good to have you back for sure. Of course, Coach Mark Laster here in the house as well. Mark, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's just another Saturday here in the state of Alabama. You know, not much going on this afternoon. I don't know what everybody's going to be doing around 2:30 or whatever, you know.
Probably eating more turkey. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Know that we did.
What a great Thanksgiving week it was. It was wonderful. I had a great Thanksgiving in our house.
Well, I'll tell you, ate a lot of food, as you can probably tell. Mm. All right. Why are you smiling?
Well, because I feel the same way. I did the same thing. I haven't eaten since Thursday.
I hear you. Oh, my goodness.
See, that's the bad thing about being on the road. That's the only bad thing about there are no leftovers in our fridge.
Yeah, it's true.
There's nothing there.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, no, it's not, especially for this rotunda.
I was going to say, we can certainly help you out with that. We can put some food in that fridge.
We can.
Hey, we have got a lot to get into. Of course, getting ready for state championship. Coming up real soon. Had some games from last night a little earlier, and we'll talk about those. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and set the table for you on the Pops Communication Line. And we will be efforting to get in touch with Coach Jeff Kelly from Saraland. Rick, I know they've got some meetings they've got to get into.
Yeah, this morning all the state championship coaches hope to be state championship coaches are at the state office in Montgomery. And what they're doing is they're having they're being interviewed, and they'll put those on the big board at Jordan-Hare Stadium during the week as the games are being played. But they'll do a series of interviews, and trying to catch up with those guys is kind of tough. And, Mark, we've always been the kind that we just don't call coaches on the day after a loss.
Right.
It's just something, we can talk to those coaches all year. And just think it's a time to let them reflect. And it's just, I just don't think it's in good taste to call a coach after you got beat and probably the biggest game of the year for them. So.
True. Sometimes they'll tell you, go ahead and call me.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. It's not a big, for whatever. And sometimes we will. But for the most part, we just kind of let the coaches have that morning and think about the game because they're probably still hurting. Because, all of a sudden you've gone from a full year's worth of work all the way around, and in this body of work you've done over the last 3 months, and then everything's done.
Right.
It's over.
And so. That's a great point. And it resonated with me last night about 11:30, 12 o'clock. Every year you give the little spiel about how tough it is for kids ending their football career. And I hope you do that today, because that's something that has resonated with me over the years. But before we go any further, I want to congratulate Coach Adam Fawcett from B.B. Comer.
Yes, sir.
Those guys, when Adam Fawcett took the job, first of all, he was out of a job. He had been fired. He's very open about it when you talk to him. He'd been fired. He was looking for a job. And he took the job at B.B. Comer, and some of his friends in coaching said, "Have you lost your mind?" And to the point that they only had 10 kids to play football when he got there.
Wow.
And today, or when they go to Jordan-Hare to play the state championship game, they will be between 40 and 50 players on their team. And let me tell you, I watched them last night. And I mean, they literally destroyed Highland Home. And Highland Home's
got a good football team.
Yeah, I'm talking about a good one. And it was 36-0 before you could even open your eyes real good. And I really want, and I know it's home for me, but that's the other school. That's the school across the tracks. And this guy and that team had Aggies all over the southeast pulling for the B.B. Comer Tigers. And now let me tell you what that's like. That's like me pulling for Alabama today,
right?
In this game.
Yeah.
And, I'm just excited for Adam and the entire B.B. Comer family and all the people in Sylacauga that have come together to support B.B. Comer, but even more so, those people who are longtime B.B. Comer alumni, people like Randy Kane and people like Biddy Burton, and just people that have loved that school for so many years, to see them come back and play for a state championship, it's got to be just one of the greatest moments of their life, and I mean that. And I think about Bobby Overton too.
I'm sitting here thinking right now. You know, Bobby, the last time they were in a state championship game, they played at Cordova.
Right.
Bobby Overton's team went to Cordova, and I mean, it was a mud hole.
Yep.
That field sits in a valley.
In a bottom.
In a bottom. Like the mountain. You can actually drive your car. There's a way to do it. You can drive your car and sit on a cliff. It's on a road now. It's not like you're just on a cliff. You can drive. So you sit on and you can sit there and look and watch the football game.
Really? Yeah.
It's that, and it's right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when it rains like it did the night they played, I guess that was back in the 90s, early 90s, went back there and watched them play. And I mean, and it was a deluge that poured that day. Field was awful. One of the reasons why they moved the Super Sick, that's one of the things they said, let's get this at one sider, yada, yada. But anyway, that was the last time we're there. And Bobby Overton, you know, one of my favorite people on this planet, and because he was one of the guys. I remember when I went to Childersburg as head coach, Bobby Overton called me and welcomed me up to that area, and was just, of course, now he didn't welcome me that much. They beat us twice in a row. But what a great guy, and I'm so proud for the folks there. You know, that is a proud little school. They're proud of who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to be anybody. They want to be B.B. Comer. And so, good for you guys. Good for Coach Fawcett.
And you mentioned Coach Fawcett. We're going to try to have him on at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, trying. We're going to try our best to get him on. Talked to him last night late, and boy, was he excited.
Yeah,
I bet he was.
First thing he said was, aren't you excited for Coach Overton?
Yes.
That tells you a little bit about what kind of guy he is.
I'm just telling you, the people in that school – love that school. The alumni of that school love that school.
They do.
And it's just a very proud, and I'm so happy that they're getting a chance to get back in the state championship.
And I'm sure there's plenty of stories all over the state like that. And I know the people in Saraland are excited for football team and Jeff Kelly for them to come back and to win a game after they had been beaten by Theodore earlier in the year to come back and win this game. And like you said, Mark, if you watch that game at all, boy, they absolutely put eight men in the box and said, you're going to have to throw it to beat us.
That's what it looked like to me. I was watching it on TV, and, man, they were just – it was – and Saraland was really after him, and Theodore had a good ball. They played a good ball. They just couldn't get anything going offensively. Yep. And I hope Eric Collier, my buddy Eric, I hope he can take a step back sometime today and look back and see what they accomplished this year. They didn't finish like they wanted to. They did not, I can tell you. That was some dejected kids and fans and coaches last night. But – man, what they did to go undefeated in the state of Alabama in a football season is an unbelievable thing to do. It really is.
Yep. First time it's happened there. 13-0.
Yeah.
Now finish up 13-1. Made it to semifinals. Yeah. All right. That was the first time they'd ever done that.
Yeah.
So what an accomplishment, no doubt
Absolutely.
About it.
And what a job he's done, because we always said every year when the right person gets in there, they're going to be something special, and Eric Collier's the guy to do it.
Absolutely.
No doubt. So. All right, in the second hour, we're going to talk with Jeff Price over in the Panhandle. We've got a ton of listeners over there, and we'll get you caught up on what's happening over in the Panhandle, who's playing, when they're playing, and all that. Coach, let me do this real quick. Let me go through these scores. We only got about 30 seconds here. Last night in 6A, Saraland defeats Theodore 21-6, Mountain Brook 28, Muscle Shoals 7. In 5A, Ramsey defeats Pleasant Grove 27-20. Charles Henderson defeats Faith Academy 27-12 in 5A. 4A, Andalusia 29, Catholic Montgomery 26. Cherokee County defeats Oneonta 42-21. In 3A, Piedmont over Sylvania 55-22. St. James beats Mobile Christian 35-7 last night. And as you mentioned, B.B. Comer defeats Highland Home 44-15. Fife over Pisgah 41-14. And Leroy defeats Millery 28-11. Pickens County over Coosa Christian in a close game, 44-40.
Well, and that was on a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
Pickens last County, Michael Williams, former Alabama Crimson Tide tight end, throw a Hail Mary on the last play of the game to defeat Coosa Christian.
That's awesome. All right, when we come back, we'll try to get in touch with Coach Jeff Kelly as PSR rolls on.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and on our Pops Communication Line. Got to say congratulations to Coach Jeff Kelly, who is with us right now. Coach, congratulations on the win last night, 21-6 over Theodore, and what was another good ball game there in Theodore. Congrats.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on. Was proud to get over there and get that win. It was a tough one. They get give a lot of credit to Coach Collier and those guys over there. They had an outstanding year, and it was a tough ball game for sure. And proud of our kids for finding a way to get it done. I thought we played well, played some good defense, and you know, made enough plays in the second half to come out on the good side.
Jeff, congratulations again, and thank you for taking time. I know you're busy and you're in a whirlwind up there in Montgomery this morning, but. Mark and I were talking this morning, and I think just from what we saw of it on TV last night on the National Federation, it sure looked like that you guys said, well, they're not going to beat us running the football. They're going to have to go over the top to beat us. And that seemed like the kind of the plan. Looked like you had 7-8 in the box all the time.
You know, you're right. You know, we played them 5 weeks ago, and, you know, heck, I don't think we had the ball but 27, 28 snaps on offense the whole night. And, you know, so if they wanted to play that game and throw it around with them, we would play that game with them and that kind of stuff. But you're right, our defensive coaches put together a really good plan and really got a few extra bodies up there closer to help out with that great running attack that they did. We knew we'd put some guys on the island, and, you know, that was a concern going in, but I was proud of the way our corners and our safeties competed, you know, when they had some one-on-one opportunities out there. They really did a good job, you know, limiting some of the things they were able to do in the pass game.
You know, Jeff, I thought your nose guard, he seemed to me he played one whale of a ball game. He was really making Theodore double team him, and he was just, if it didn't look like he was making play, I kept watching. It was hard to see from that camera angle I had, but it looked to me like your interior right there, your nose guard, your two defensive tackles, the ends, whatever you want to call them, and your two inside linebackers. But I kept seeing the nose guard eating up blocks and causing a traffic jam there in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, you know, that's Tony Colbert in there, a 10th grader, another one of our talented 10th graders that had a great year. Jermaine Paramore is the core technique force. Also, Jimmy Bird plays the other defensive end. They, you know, they really did a good job. And really, you know, the last three weeks, you know, throughout the playoffs, we did a much better job against the run with all of our guys in the box. And, you know, as much as we struggled in the third round against Homewood, giving up, you know, 56 points, and they threw for a country mile, it seemed like. We did a great job against the run, really against those guys. It felt like, you know, if we could just play with great effort and be sound in terms of our gap responsibilities, that, you know, as crazy as it sounded, you know, we felt better about the matchup going into the Theodore game, you know, just based on some of the things that we've been doing well through the playoffs. So, really proud of those guys for how hard and how tough they played, and really they didn't get a lot of breaks in there. I mean, we didn't rotate a ton of guys, and so those guys in the trenches, they had to you know, kind of take it from the first snap to the last snap and get it done. And
right.
Really was a big part of, you know, why we won. You look at, you know, a team that's had as much success as Theodore has had running the football, and to keep those guys out the end zone all night in that kind of game and that kind of atmosphere, you know, just really proud of our kids.
We're visiting with Sutherland's football coach, Jeff Kelly. Coach, you look on that offense, KJ Lacey, he had a couple of touchdowns, and Ryan Williams had a nice 43-yard touchdown. The offense did exactly what it needed to do to put points on the board.
You know, it did. Really, you know, early in the game, we left some plays out there. You know, we had some opportunities. We had an interception in the end zone. Ryan had a couple of drops there, you know, but, you know, I think Sante and our guys up front really had one of their best nights of the year. You know, we got away from the run the first time we played those guys. You know, we really did. We got away from it. I got away from it. That's nobody's fault but mine. But, you know, I told our guys, as well as we throw the football, we've got to create some balance and create some doubt in the minds of those defensive linemen in terms of what we're going to do. And, you know, we had a great night, you know, running for – had close to 200 yards and had a good night running. And we made enough plays in the passing game. And Ryan come through with a big run there, and KJ made some big throws. I thought maybe the play of the game, we're up 8 points, kind of mid-fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, and it's third and 10, third and 12, something like that. And KJ makes a big conversion to Jordan Dees across the middle for a pickup of about 20, 25 yards. And really was kind of the dagger that that allowed us to put that game away, because two plays later, Ryan had his good run, but we'd have never got to that point without that conversion on that third down. And it really, they had, you know, just kicked the field goal, had a little bit of momentum, and, you know, as an offense, it was good to go out there and kind of shut the door in the fourth quarter.
You know, Jeff, I thought that was the biggest play of the game myself. Is, and you think about it, you got a 10th grader, you got a sophomore, you got third and eight on your own 24-yard line. I'm looking at this play right now in my mind, and I'm thinking, I said, well, maybe they'll do something with Ryan Williams trying to, you know, just get the ball in his hands on a jet sweep or something. But I'll be doggone, you'd have enough confidence in KJ Lacey to let him sit in that pocket, step up in there, and hit Jordan Dees for a big play. I think about 28 yards is what it was. And that was a huge, huge, huge momentum thing. And that took away any threat that they had of maybe getting the ball in good field position. Boy, I thought it was just a tremendous, tremendous play by that sophomore. And look, Jordan Dees hadn't got enough recognition from people all around everywhere, because you got so many really good players that are surrounding him. But, you know, you and I've talked about this before. Jordan Dees is one heck of a football player. And, boy, he really made a big-time play right there on third and eight. And then, of course, two plays later. And listening to your radio, guys, I got really tickled. They kept saying, well, give Ryan the ball, let Ryan run the ball. I mean, it like to drove me crazy. I want you to bring those guys into you.
Thinking that same thing.
Yeah, you know? Well, they may have been, but, I mean, they were driving me. Yep.
One thing that I've learned about our guys, and KJ's such, you know, a great, you know, he sees it really well. And, heck, when we get in those big situations and I'm looking down at that call sheet and trying to, you know, drum up the best call that you know, is going to be the perfect sauce on everything, I just go back to, you know, what's some of those base calls that we ran the first day of spring training? You know,
right.
what's something that our kids know, you know, like the back of their hand, and just, you know, call something that we're super comfortable with, and then trust them to go play. You know, and actually that ball to Jordan, you know, that was number four in KJ's progression. And to see him work through that progression, wow, step up in the pocket. You know, there ain't many 10th graders around that's going to make those kind of plays in that moment, in that situation. And, you know, so really proud of you know, that individual play. But that's kind of stuff we've been seeing all year.
Well, Jeff, now you're going back to the state championship game, and I'm telling you right now, you had a bunch of young people at the beginning of the year. They ain't young no more, pal. They ain't young. And you made the statement to somebody, and it may have been to myself or to Mark, this may be the most mature football team you've ever had. And that says a whole lot for a lot of kids with youth. And, look, we got to get out of here, but congratulations. Hey, savor every moment, and we will be pulling for you guys when it comes game time in Jordan-Hare, pal.
Appreciate it, guys. It's time for us to go finish it, okay? I appreciate y'all.
That's right.
We're looking forward to the week.
Take care.
Take care, Jeff. Congratulations.
Good luck, Coach. And then we take it on Mountain Brook, 7 o'clock on –
Big ball game.
Chris, yeah, that'll be the last ball
Chris
game.
Chris Yeager, head coach at Mountain Brook, good friend of mine. That's and that's two very good high school coaches taking two really good programs into that game.
That'll be Friday night at 7 o'clock, all right? So they'll take on Mountain Brook. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we will try to get in touch with Coach Adam Fawcett of B.B. Comer. We'll have him up next right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Time to go back to our Pops communication line and welcome in the head football coach for B.B. Comer in Sylacauga, Coach Adam Fawcett. Coach, congratulations on a nice win. Thanks for taking time out of your busy morning to be with us.
Thank you, man. It's I enjoy these, especially after a win like we had last night. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You know, Adam, I guess we've talked five or six times this year, and a lot of things that you've said have resonated with me about the way you have built this program up and the way the alumni have really stood behind you. But I don't think I've ever seen as listening to Greg Wyckoff last night as he called the game. And, boy, you guys were on fire coming out of the blocks. You built a 36-0 halftime lead. And the one thing you said at halftime was, it's a new game. We want to come out and do the same thing we did in the first half. We don't want to get off the gas pedal at all. You got to be mighty proud of those young men that when you got there, there were 10, and now they're between 40 and 50. And just kind of go through the emotions that you're feeling this morning while you're in Montgomery with what you're looking at, 13 other coaches there, pal.
Yes, sir, man. I am super proud of my guys for just how they came out last night. I didn't know based on the week. I felt like we had a good schedule. I wanted to keep them engaged, but also wanted to give them a little time to be with their family and to be away from us. So, you hope you have the right schedule and you hope you have the right plan in place. The guys, man, they played hard last night. Like I was super proud of how fast we started. Just nonstop in the first half, and on both sides of the ball, just playing really, really well. Special teams made a big play in the first half and recovered a kick, and the guy, got bobbled deep, and we ended up with the ball on the 11-yard line to put another score in, and had a huge crowd there, and. Just the whole atmosphere was electric, and I'm here in Montgomery this morning, and it's an amazing feeling to be here. Just amazing to be able to play another week.
You know, Coach, I got to be proud of your offensive line. I mean, your running back had 172 yards rushing last night. I don't know what your totals were, probably well over 200. But you've got to be really happy with your offensive line because, Rick and I are offensive line guys, and we both, know that in the big ball games, it's going to come down to those big hogs getting their job done for you. And the unglorified positions of offensive linemen are the ones who can make or break a big ball game like this, and they must have played really well last night.
Yeah, they did. They played hard. They played well, and I coach offensive line, and In 79, when I was born, I was born as an offensive lineman, too. So I relate well to those guys, and we go down there, and we work hard, and we take care of each other and pick each other up. And, man, they've just developed week in and week out. And after the Sacks game, like, we fell in love with the sled again. And it was a tough love at first, but man, they love that sled now, and that's part of our success is pounding that sled and challenging them to try and throw me off of it and stuff like that. So, but super proud of those guys and the work that they put in and just how much effort there is in what they're doing and how much passion they have. That's one thing about this team. This team has a passion for each other. They have a passion for the game. And as a coach, you know, like you have to figure out your team and figuring out what makes them go. And you have to, I've learned over the years, you let them be themselves, but as long as they can find to your expectations and rules. And that's what those guys have done. And all of our guys play so much better when they're loose and not uptight. That's kind of their mojo, just to be loose and relaxed. And, man, when they're like that, then I know we're ready to play.
We're talking to B.B. Comer head football coach Adam Fawcett, who's B.B. Comer Tigers defeated the Highland Home Flying Squadron last night 44-15 and going to be going back to a state championship for the first time since 1995. Now, Adam, one of the things, there's a couple of things that really stood out to us here. I know Kamori Harris has just been phenomenal for you guys all year long. He had 25 rushes for 172 yards. But also defensively, he's such a standout at linebacker. But the young guy that really impressed me last night was Devin Harvey. He threw the ball so very well and just commanded your football team. And he didn't just give them – or manage the game, as some people would say. He absolutely executed so very, very well. You got to be very proud of both Kamori and of Devin Harvey and that little running back that you put in there for him for Kamori. Boy, you're talking about that little fella can really scat, I can tell you.
Yeah, I was super proud of Moore and Devin last night. After the second score, the guys were coming off the field, and I told Moore, I said, "This is your team. You lead them." And he said, "Yes, sir. I got this." And that was it, you know. But Devin made some great decisions last night. He made some good decisions, just taking the ball and running and getting the first down, and made some good decisions throwing the ball. You know, there was a in the game, he rolls out and all of a sudden he pulls up and throws the ball back across the field and hits Richard Weed in the end zone. I thought, man, that is an amazing throw right there. And, just impressed with how much he's developed. And again, it's the buy-in, you know, him and our offensive coordinator, Coach Pike, they spend a lot of time together, a lot of film study together. And he's bought in, he's matured, he's grown up, and he's definitely one of our leaders on this team, and the kids feed off of him, they feed off of his energy, and you know, he's also another kid, turns around and plays both ways. You know, he plays safety for us and does a good job there. Has numerous interceptions for us, and you know, just super proud of his efforts and how much he's matured.
You know, the running back, I think he's a running back for Highland Home, Keldrick Falk, who's a Florida State commit. And I know he had a couple scores last night, but y'all must have done a pretty good job bottling him up for most of the evening, Coach.
Yeah, we did. Our guys did a really good job of matching their guys. And something we worked on all week is as far as how we wanted to match it up. He had some really good catches. He's a good athlete, man. He's going to be a great athlete at the next level. And but we were able to kind of bottle him up, and he did cut loose a couple times, and he was responsible for some scores. But I'm very impressed with him and just how well he played. So, but our guys, again, it's you go back to the planning and the buying in, and that's really the key. You know, my defense coordinator, Coach Safford, he does a great job getting these guys ready and scheming it and kind of getting everything in line. And then once we have our scheme together, the guys have bought into it. And, you know, we've been telling them all season, just trust what we're doing, you know. And I throw a lot back on the guys by the middle of the week. I tell them every week, hey, we got the best game plan there is. It's up to you to put it in play. I put a lot of ownership back on their shoulders, and they like to prove us wrong sometimes, and it's in a good way. So I don't have a problem with that at all.
We're winding down with Coach Adam Fawcett, the head football coach at B.B. Comer in Sylacauga, who had a 44-15 victory over Highland Home last night, right there at Legion Stadium in Sylacauga. And, of course, this brings us back all the way to 1995 when Bobby Overton took a B.B. Comer team into Cordova. You've said all year long, you've talked about Bobby Overton, and you've said how much he supports you and that program. It's got to be a good feeling to you to be able to please that B.B. Comer family, because what you have done is you've reunited them. They've always stayed together, but you've got to be very, very excited for Coach Bobby Overton. This has got to bring back some great memories for him and for that alumni base.
Yes, no doubt. And, that, you know, that's the big key with the whole process of this and being part of the program is to – when I came in, it was, you know, the whole world's about hashtags now and things like that. And my hashtag was Restore the Roar, and that's what we wanted to do, and that's what we want to continue to do. And I have nothing but respect for Coach Overton and what he was able to do in his career there. And, you know, we want to continue building the program and establishing the program and continue moving forward. So. Those guys are a big benefit to us, and just look forward to them being around. You know, last night was really cool because Telly Embry, who was the quarterback of the 95 team, was there, and he spoke to the team before the game. And after the game, during the celebration and everything else, he came over and hugged me, and I thought he broke my back. He hugged me so hard, but man, it was well worth it.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Again, you'll hit the field on Friday, December the 2nd at 3 p.m. as you'll take on a very good Fife team. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Congratulations and good luck on Friday night.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, right there. Coach Adam Fawcett, head football coach for B.B. Comer. I'll tell you, they have played, and Ricky said they've played extremely well. They've got the hands full. On Friday, taking on Fife undefeated.
Yeah, you don't have to. Fife is the only undefeated team left in it. Paul Benefield, heck, he plays on Paul Benefield Field. Fife is, boy, one heck of a football program. Yep. It's going to be one heck of a matchup, though, I can tell you that, because B.B. Comer's got their own culture,
right,
and it's something different for Paul and Fife to see.
Why don't we do this? We'll take a timeout. When we come back, let's look at these matchups,
yep,
and get your thoughts on those.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Oh, boy, look out behind you. Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, but today Hyundai Genesis Room. I think we could just stay here all day, Mark. I mean, all these games that are on. And
I would like to just come out. I'll stay here. I, it's always Mark. You got to put me in there a little bit.
Well, hold on. I was going to say,
I will be here after y'all.
I know you want to stay here because you're going to work.
I'm going to work.
You've got a full day of work.
I will be here for another hour after y'all leave. I promise you.
Well, that's okay because you're the best at what you do, pal. I can tell you that, and you have brought life to PSR, and we are You know, local attorney Braxton counts as a lobbyist in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for your businesses. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900.
All right, guys, let's get into the 2022 Super 7 Finals. That will happen on beginning on Wednesday. And we will start at 2 o'clock with flag football. And I know, Mark, you had said that you went last year to the game.
I did. I had a cousin that was playing. She played quarterback for the Smith Station team. And, man, that game went into overtime. And I think – who were they playing? Trustful? I think Hewitt Trustful beat them in overtime. But I was sitting there. My cousin's a softball player, and she's playing now at collegiately at a junior college in Florida, I believe, playing softball. And but they had a flag football team, first team ever, and she quarterbacked them. And she's quite a player. She could throw it. I mean, she's a good ball player. But it was a lot of fun to watch. And it was great to watch girls compete in football, in flag football. And, I mean, they were – it was serious business. Now, everybody laughs about – you hear girls flag football. It's not a joke. Them son of guns got after each other, I'm telling you. And it was fun to watch them. And they competed in the game, and then they did it right. You know, they had a couple times where they'd get up off the ground and we'd get nose to nose with one another, you know, and you could tell a little chippy out there. It was unbelievable.
Don't think that there isn't any competition out there.
No, I'm telling you.
They are fighting to win.
Yes, they are.
How many folks were there?
Probably a couple of thousand.
Yeah.
Probably a couple thousand people. But there was a lot of folks who came in just like myself, very curious to see what it looked like. But there was a good group of people from both schools there. Of course, Trustful had a huge amount because there was, it was up there in Birmingham last year. It was right down the street, you know. So
absolutely. Well, after that game, 7A will kick off at 7 o'clock, and you'll see Auburn and Thompson. And I got to tell you, that's going to be a mighty good ball game right there.
Well, there's no doubt, and I'm going to tell you something. The people in Auburn have wanted to play Thompson for a couple of years now. There's a bitter taste in the people in Auburn's mouth about that game. They feel like that they deserve to win that state championship, but just couldn't close the door. And, you know, a lot of things happened since that time. Adam Weingarten, who was the coach there, who did a tremendous job coaching at Auburn High School and continues to do a great job at Tuscaloosa County and one of the finest men you'll ever want to meet, I can promise you. They should have won that football game. They won that football game for 46 minutes of that game. They won it. They dominated. And then they made some really critical mistakes late in the game. And Mark Freeman's team from Thompson came back and won that game. Now Keith Etheridge is there. And that taste, they get a chance to get that taste out of their mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. I've already said this but privately to a couple of people, but I'll say it publicly. I really and truly believe that this is a year for Auburn to win their first state football championship. They've got such a well-rounded football team. They've got an offensive line that's second to none. They've got a defense that swarms, a really good football team. Thompson has got an eighth grader playing quarterback, and anytime you've got an eighth grader playing quarterback and you put him in a state championship game, even though this young man is a very talented player, I still think that that gives an advantage to Auburn High School. So I just think it's going to be a heck of a football game, and it's a great one to start Super 7 off with. I think we start Super 7 with a great game, and we end it with a tremendous game in Mountain Brook and Sarah Land. Yes. So it couldn't be any better, but I like Auburn in this game, Mark.
I think it's going to be a whale of a ball game. I think I think the thing that Thompson's got going for it is they've just been there so much.
Right.
And they're so comfortable there. And I think the guys around that eighth grade are going to rally around him. And I think, you know, personally, I think Thompson's playing as good a football as they've played all year right now. And I think because of that, I think they got a chance to beat Auburn in this championship
game. And what you're saying plays so important because we've seen it happen where a team that's never been there or seems like they can get right to the edge but can't get to that final game, when they finally get there, they're so enthralled of how big this is. And if you've been there time after time after time, I tell you, the experience pays off.
You know, for me too, my heart kind of wants to see Auburn win it.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart does.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Coach Etheridge and I know Coach Freeman. Good guys, two good programs. I just think that, you know, it's time for Auburn's been knocking on that door for a few years, and they're right there now, and I'd like to see them finish that deal out, you know, and I would really like to see that happen.
Well, and people want to talk about the coaches when it's really all about the players. But if you want to talk about the coaches, let's talk about the coaches. Mark Freeman has won state championships wherever he's been.
Yes.
He's won them. Go all the way back to Bessemer Academy when he dominated the Alabama Independent Schools Association. Then he comes to Spanish Fort, does a tremendous job at Spanish Fort. Let's talk about Keith Etheridge.
Yeah.
You know, Keith Etheridge goes to Leeds, wins state championship. He goes to Oxford, where it's a tough place to coach, wins a state championship. Goes to T.R. Miller and does a great job, but then the Auburn job comes open, and what does he do? He goes to Auburn. So these are two coaches that have the pedigree to win state championships, and that's why they're here now. So when you get into a game like this, players who have had the experience of playing in state championship games have a huge advantage over others that have not had that advantage. Both of these teams will have players who have played on that big field before. So I think it's going to be a game whoever gets the momentum and can keep the momentum. And it usually comes down to a series of three or four plays in the game that determine the outcome of the game. And in this case, I really and truly believe that Auburn's going to have a better chance to win the football.
So you're predicting Auburn?
I'm Martin? Saying Auburn.
I'm taking Thompson.
Yep. Thompson? All right, so I'm going to be the tiebreaker.
Okay.
You'll never hear me say this.
I know what you're going to say because
– Auburn.
That's right.
Roll Tide today.
Hey, we've got some other great games coming up.
We're going to talk about those coming up in just a minute. Yeah, we'll do that. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, more PSR right after this. Do not touch that dial.
It's time for the Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lessiter.
And we're walking into the second hour of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. We're broadcasting live today from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room, and we want to welcome all of our friends listening in on great radio stations in Central Alabama. You've got Kix 100.3 and Kix 96.3 covering the Central Alabama area. Good morning to all of you there in Birmingham, Montgomery, Prattville, Auburn. Coach, one of your favorite places, Lake Martin, hometown Sylacauga, that whole Central Alabama area. Good morning. Thank you for hanging out with us. And along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi, you've got us tuned into FM Talk 106.5. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland is here. Coach Mark Lassiter is here. And, Coach, by the way, congratulations again. A big weekend last weekend for you on your marriage there.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful, wonderful time for us, and thank you for that, Randy.
All right, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We got a big week coming up. Of course, it's the 2022 Super 7 Finals. That'll happen at Jordan-Hare Stadium right there in the heart of Auburn, Alabama. We talked a little bit about it in that last segment there. Auburn will take on Thompson. That begins on Wednesday, November the 30th at 7 p.m. Coach, you and I, Rick, you and I have Auburn. Mark, you have Thompson. Let's turn and look at Thursday, December the 1st. We'll start at 11 a.m. 3A, Piedmont takes on St. James. Coach?
Well, I think that's an interesting game for a lot of reasons, but Mark and I have said all year long that you can count on Steve Smith's football team to be in Auburn this year, and that's just a given. I mean, right now they are one of the hottest teams in the state of Alabama. They've got as good a program as anybody in the state of Alabama. and they, and especially for that level, I mean, they are very competitive. They have two losses during the regular season. They lost to Cherokee County, who is in the 4A state championship game, and they lost to Anniston, who is was a semifinalist last week. And so, you know, you look at Piedmont, you got to start with Jack Hayes. Jack Hayes is Alabama's all-time state passer. Now, you think about all the great quarterbacks, Mark, that have played at Alabama, at Auburn, at LSU, at Georgia, all over the country. We've got quarterbacks from the state of Alabama that have played high school football in Alabama, and Jack Hayes is the all-time leading passer in the state of Alabama. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have to play a Steve Smith team, one of the things about them is they're going to control the football. They're not going to let you have the football. They're not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. They're going to be sound offensively and defensively, and their kicking game is as good as any team in 5A, 6A, 7A. They work on it, and it is an integral part of their game. They're going to be playing a team like St. James. Jimmy Perry has done a tremendous job at that school in Montgomery. He plays 6, 7, 8 players both ways, and they are always going to be a well-coached football team. I just believe that right now that Piedmont is head and shoulders above everybody in 3A, and when you look at their season, you can see by the scores that they've dominated everybody they played. They beat Sylvania last night, I think, 55-22, and Jack Hayes broke the state record on the final play of the first quarter. So I like, if my heart were picking this, I would certainly pick Jimmy Perry.
Exactly.
No doubt about that. But my head will not allow me to go beyond Piedmont in this game, Mark.
No, you know, because – and again, Piedmont is a school that is always in this game, it seems like.
It goes back to what we were talking about, experience.
Right.
They know how to act when they get there.
That's right. I mean, Jack Hayes' brother was a quarterback that won a state championship a couple of times. I know he won it in 15 and 16. He was a quarterback that played against us.
Exactly.
In 15, and then he was a quarterback against Mobile Christian in 16.
Right.
I think that's right.
Yep.
But he was a great player. And Jack is also a great player, and I think he's been probably starting at quarterback since he was in eighth or ninth grade. I know it's one of the two. He's been playing quarterback a long time, but he is very good. And Steve and his bunch have been there. They're going to be physically strong. They are a very strong football team. If you watch them play, they are a team that normally, if you look at their age on their players, a lot of those seniors are going to be 19 years old. They just have been that way for years, and they do a great job there in Piedmont and getting that football program to this point. On the other side, St. James, if I'm not mistaken, now this is the first time they've ever won a semifinal game. It's the school,
it is.
The school, yeah. Saying not Jimmy, but the school,
right?
First time they've ever won one, so this is their first state championship shot. They're fixing to take. I think it's going to be a big, big stadium they walk into, and a new environment. It's going to be difficult to beat a team that's been there and done that.
It'll be very reminiscent of the 2015 Bayside run, yes, to the state championship when they faced Piedmont in Tuscaloosa. And now Bayside had some injuries going into that game and all of that, but St. James may be facing the same thing, the experience that Piedmont brings in playing in that level of a ball game. And you're right, Coach. I think all of us would say, hey, we'd love for Jimmy Perry to win this thing. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yep.
But I think we all concur that that Piedmont's going to get the win over St. James. And these are just predictions that we're going to throw out here. Let's move to the 3 o'clock game. Leroy will take on Pickens County. Now, Leroy comes in 12-1, Pickens County 11-3. Mark, let's start with you on that one.
You know, Pickens County has been a team that has been at this. They've played for the state championship 3 or 4 times in the last 5 or 6 years, if I'm not mistaken, 16, 17, and 19, I think. So this, they're not brand new to this environment, and they're going to be playing a team that's also played for the state championship. Leroy's played for it. It's been a while now, hasn't it, Rick, since,
yeah,
Leroy's been there. But and I don't really know enough about either one to know.
Yeah.
I do know, you know, Mike Williams is the guy who I read a story about, if you remember this, on this show years ago. I think it was in his first year. Somebody saw him after a ball game. They were playing someone, and after the ball game, he was actually in the stands at an away game
cleaning
the stadium.
Yep.
Now, this is the guy who played tight end for Alabama. If you remember, he's the one that went up and they jumped up for the interception in the end zone that LSU pulled down in that big ball game, and they both came down with it, and the LSU guy came up with the ball. That was Mike Williams, the tight end at Alabama at that time. Great football player and played at the highest level, you know, in college football. And here he is in the bleachers picking up trash after a football game. Tells you a lot about who he is as a person. So he carries over to his team. I think Pickens County is going to be pretty tough to beat for Leroy, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Pickens County.
All right.
Well, you're talking about a Leroy team that's been there a bunch. The last time they were there was 2017. They won three straight, if you remember,
yes,
under Denny, from 2006 to 2008. They were really, really good, and then they won another one in 2004. But you're talking about a football team that the whole community rallies around that Bear team, the Leroy Bears. And Jason Massey, his family's got a huge, huge what's the word I want to use? They've put a lot into Leroy. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, his daddy, his coach there, his daddy's now helping him coach there. This is a young man who served in the armed forces. He took a year off and went into the military and served in Iraq. Just a wonderful, wonderful story. But I'm going to tell you, Leroy and Millery had played earlier this year. They're in the same region. Millery defeated them. They had to go to Millery last night and play Millery in Millery. And they come out with a 28-11 win. And I think that was huge. I think it's huge to go back after they got, you know, they lost the region title to Millery. And they've got some good football players. Braden Huebner scored three touchdowns last night. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will never pick against Leroy in a state championship game. I just will never pick against them. Bobby Farish and those guys up there, they live and breathe Leroy Bear football. And I will, and our coach over at UMS Wright, Eddie, when you talk to Eddie about it, he's Leroy through and through too. I will never pick against Leroy, so I'm going to take Leroy in this game, guys.
Well, and I've already written down. I've got Leroy on that. Pickens County, I like the story there, and I think that's awesome.
So we don't see eye to eye.
So far.
So I don't want to hear that anymore, okay?
So far, it's only been two of three games.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and I'll tell you, we're going to have to move through these other ones here. We're coming up on a break here, but we'll finish these others up in just a little bit. Now, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with Jeff Price. He is the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals over in the Panhandle. He'll be up next. We'll talk about what, who, and where they're playing over in the Panhandle. Don't go anywhere. More Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
We are so glad that you're hanging out with us right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. Guys, I'll tell you, we're going to head over to the Panhandle here and see if we can. We have tried to cipher these brackets out, and we need Mark, we need a deciphers.
Not sure if that's a word. I like it.
I hear you, man. We have got the guy that can do that, our very good friend Jeff Price. You hear him on Friday Night Rivals on WGFX, WFGX 35 in Pensacola. Jeff Price on the line with us. Jeff, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing extremely well, and happy Thanksgiving back to you. We certainly had, and I'm looking at Mark, we had a lot to eat. Mark.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still uncomfortable.
I know. I know how you feel, brother. All right, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the playoffs there in Florida. We are going through, obviously trying to cipher this out, and for all of our folks listening to us throughout the state of Alabama, over in Mississippi, might be just a little bit of confusion there whenever you look at this. You got M's, S's, R's. First off, let's try to break that down. I know you've got metro, you've got suburban, you've got rural. How do you put this together for a playoff?
You know, sometimes I haven't been this confused since my first middle school math class when they started throwing, you know, like letters and stuff in there. And I still haven't tried to figure it out. So, look, it all depends on size, like city size, all these different things. A lot of this came out because of the Miami schools down in South Florida were just bigger than these other schools. Even though they may have had the same amount of kids going there, the cities themselves had more to choose from. And so that's how all this panned out. That's why you see R's and M's and Q's and Z's and whatever you want to throw in there. I'll be honest with you, Randy. Look, we were 2B when I was at Northview, and I didn't know what 2B meant, but I thought it was close enough to 2A, so I just told people we were 2A high school. So, again, Florida's its own breed. It's its own animal. I'm pretty sure most of the kids that go there don't really know what this all means as well.
You know, Jeff, I'm going to tell you, you got to be a Philadelphia lawyer to figure this out. And I'm not even going to try. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to tell me who in the panhandle has a chance to win a state championship, whether it's M, R, S, B, T, C, J, Z, X, whatever it is. Who in the panhandle has a chance to win a state championship?
Well, you know, this makes it a little bit easier. Choctaw upset Pine Forest last week, which was a tremendous upset, not only just here in the Panhandle, but in the state, because a lot of people down there in Central Florida, they thought, you know, they were worried about Pine Forest coming back down after their runner-up last year and what they did. But this year, look, Choctaw lost to Columbia last night inside the five. They had four chances to score. They threw it a couple chances. I'm not going to get into throwing the football when you're inside the five, especially when you got a chance to win a game. But they lost 20-14, so that makes it easier. Northview, however, went on to play Chifley, who was 11-0. Both teams undefeated coming into this game. All you heard was, well, Chifley, you know what? They've got a four-star receiver, and they're going to be able to throw on the Chiefs. The Chiefs aren't as deep as people think. They haven't played a team like this. And you know what? That may be so, however you want to look at it. But Northview rolled all over Chifley last night, 42-6. It was a running clock. They scored on their first six possessions. I mean, it just wasn't even close. Jamarcus Jefferson had five rushing touchdowns. He leads the Panhandle with 44 touchdowns this year. Again, call it what you want. It was a good day for the Garnet Gold. I'm not a Florida State fan. I ain't trying to ruffle no feathers with people. But, again, the Garnet Gold was 2-0 yesterday. And the Chiefs, I tell you what, they play Union County, who beat Columbia this year, actually. And that's going to be a heck of a showdown. To be honest with you, whoever wins that Northview, and I know Hawthorne's still down there, and Hawthorne's always good, but whoever wins that Northview Union County game next week, I would like to go ahead and say it's a favorite for the state championship.
We're visiting with Jeff Price, color analyst for Friday Night Rivals on WFGX 35 in Pensacola. Have had the opportunity to work with Jeff on many occasions, and coaches, you'll love this. When you go to Northview, there's a statue of Jeff over there. Okay, he walks out on the field and everybody just standing ovation. But but listen, let me tell you, that Northview team is a good team. We've had the opportunity to call them, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I think that they win it this year. I think you'll have a championship.
How do you do that? Watch
what happens.
The region title was 2012, and listen. We talk about, you know, you better be aware of history because it can repeat itself. Well, they were state champs in 2012. This team is just so much fun to watch. You know, we watched them, Randy, when we watched them play Baker. And granted, Baker's not the same Baker team they've been in the past. But when they want to flip a switch, they flip a switch. And that's just so special with high school teams, especially with kids nowadays. You know, a lot of times you want to keep them in the game. But this team, just they can kind of do what they want. And it starts with Coach Summerford and him coming in his second year, what he's been able to do, turning that program around. Man, he's got these kids ready. He's got these kids with a fire lit under them. Last week they played Holmes County. They almost lost that game. And so he came in and he even admitted it. He chewed them out. And he said, this is leadership. This is about what do you want? You think you're just going to roll over people? This is the playoffs, and, you know, and anything can happen. And it was a complete 180 from last week. And it was the most impressive game that I have seen the Chiefs play all year. And they've had some pretty good ones.
You know, when you think about Florida football, one of the things that always impressed me when some of the older folks were down in the panhandle and the guy who climbed trees to scout other teams, and there was just so many great skill players in the state of Florida. I'm talking about skill position players. And when that's the thing that always impresses me and has always impressed me is we played teams from Fort Walton, played Choctahatchee, played Fort Walton Beach, and then came up here and played Pine Forest and schools like that. There were so many doggone really good skill players from the quarterbacks to the wide receivers to the running backs. And the discrepancy in that was that they were average up front. Now it seems like to me from everything I'm hearing is that Florida is loaded with offensive linemen. So, Jeff, I don't know how you guys do it. I don't even know how y'all keep up with this playoff situation. But I love to see skill players. But even more than that, I love to see great offensive and defensive linemen.
Well, I like that you said that because Randy remembers, you know, when we were talking before we called the Northview game, I said, listen, you know, the running back is great, the quarterback's good, but, man, this defensive front and this offensive line, they are just – they're farm boys, they're mean, they're tough, they're just gritty. Not this fancy, you know, I don't want to get dirty. These boys are down and dirty. And I think that's the thing that everybody talks about with Northview is these skill players. Like, you know, look, skill players, it's easy to root for them. You know, they got the stats and all this other stuff. But the big boys up front, man, those buffet busters, as I call them, that is always my favorite thing to look for. This Northview team, boy, they are the real deal.
Hey, Jeff, I was kind of wondering where are y'all in the playoffs now? I think y'all play at two different sites for the state championship. Are y'all Florida's a little bit different than Alabama.
They're a lot different.
Well, I know that as far as the timetable. Is it about a week? Are y'all a week from state championships or 2 weeks? Where are y'all in that part?
Yeah, we've got the – this will be the Final Four next week. So, for Northview in that 1A, they'll play their state championship in Tallahassee. So, we'll see what happens.
I got you.
And then the other one's in Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And that's the next week?
That'll be the following week.
Okay. All right. Hey, I got it. Okay. Don't know who's playing, but I got it.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Write all that down because the Florida's like, they're welcome to change it. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's crazy.
I love it.
You know, and in Florida – and we've talked about this before, Jeff, but I want our listeners to understand this.
No, we only have about 30 seconds.
Okay. They can change schools. Those players, after football season's over, they can go to another school and play basketball, right?
Oh, yeah. Basketball's a different story. Who knows where anybody's going to be come basketball season. But right now,
enjoy
football.
There you go.
I love that.
Jeff, hey, man, always good to hang out with you. Thanks for taking time out on Saturday morning to be right here on the Prep Sports Report, pal.
Guys, the pleasure is always mine. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff Price right there, color right. analyst for Friday Night Rivals.
No way.
WFGX TV 35. He does a great job as a color analyst, Rick. If you've never heard him, you got to listen to him.
I got to listen to him. And Bergen's already predicted a state champion.
I know. Look at Bergen.
Good gracious.
We're going to do that when we come back. Good. We're going to predict some right here in the state of Alabama as PSR rolls on.
Charleston Guest Lantern's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
I don't know how. Still baffled.
Oh, my goodness. We are rolling through Charleston Guest Lantern's Prep Sports Report on a kind of gloomy, cloudy Saturday morning right here along the Gulf Coast. Glad to have you on board with us wherever you might be, Central Alabama, North Alabama, the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, Florida. Glad to have you on board with us. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. We've been talking about the 2022 Super 7 finals, kind of giving our predictions, and we're going to continue rolling through that. Let me just update where we are right now. All right, in 7A, Coach, you and I have Auburn. Mark has Thompson. In 3A, all of us pick Piedmont. In 1A, Coach, you and I have Leroy. Mark has Pickens. Now let's move to 5A. They'll play at 7 o'clock on Thursday.
Charles Henderson and Ramsey. Charles Henderson comes in 12-1. Ramsey comes in 12-2. Rick, let's start with you.
Well, Charles Henderson, Quinn Hambright is the head coach there, and they were 2-8 last year. And they come back, and they defeated UMS Wright. They stopped UMS Wright inside the 5-yard line twice, which I don't think has ever been done to a Terry Curtis coach team, and I don't think it'll ever be done again. I mean, is it called an anomaly, Mark? Is that what it would be called?
Yeah, it's close. Yeah.
So, and then they go to Faith.
We're just coming up with words.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they go to Faith, and I didn't think they could beat Faith at Faith.
I didn't either.
I didn't think they could beat them there. Well, they did.
Convincingly, 27-12.
Yeah, they didn't. It was not close. And so now they play an inner-city team. They play Ramsey. And Ramsey, Coach Ronnie Jackson, they don't even have a field to practice on. Mm-hmm. They have to bust to Legion Field to practice. They play their home games at Legion Field. And so this guy has done a tremendous job there. And they're, you know, the nemesis for them has been Pleasant Grove. Daryl LeBeau out at Pleasant Grove. Daryl LeBeau has done a great job there. But Ramsey has won that region. They've beat Pleasant Grove twice. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, you're playing on grass at Jordan-Hare. It's not on turf. If it were on turf, I would think Ramsey had an even better chance to win this football game. But I'm going to tell you something. I really and truly believe Ramsey's got the best football team in 5A right now. So I'm taking Ramsey.
I'm going to take Charles Henderson. Anytime you beat Terry Curtis and Jack French back-to-back, you've done a day's work. So I think they may be the best team in 5A. Okay.
Mark, you and I are going to see eye to eye on this one.
What?
I'm going with Charles Henderson, too. No, I mean, listen, I think they have been playing extremely well. Yeah, they've got one loss that came to Beauregard. They lost that one 24-26. So, and to beat Terry Curtis and, as you mentioned, Jack French, they got a lot of momentum going. I'm going to go with Charles Henderson. Let's move to Friday, December the 2nd, 11 a.m. 4A will kick off Cherokee County versus Andalusia. Rick? We're going to go back to you.
All right. Well, I can't pick this game because I've got this game. And I'm you know, I can't pick it, but I want to tell you a little bit about this game. Luke Kelly has come over from Georgia and has done a great job there. And I call him Luke, but his real name is Jacob Kelly. But he got, you know, anyway, he's come over from Georgia, has done a great job over in center at Cherokee County. They're going to play a team that we know a lot about in Andalusia. Trent Taylor has done a tremendous job there at 8 years at Andalusia, 25 years at Strawn, and a really good football team. Guys, this is going to be an exciting game, and I certainly would not even try to pick this game, but I think it's simply because having to call it, I don't think it's right.
Right,
to do it,
I got you. And you don't. Yeah. You don't.
I got you.
Let me just mention, Andalusia comes in 13-1, Cherokee County 12-2. Mark, I'll tell you, I'm going to go right off the bat. I'm going to go ahead and pick Andalusia on this.
I'm going to go with you on that one. I think Andalusia is the best team in the state if they can beat Montgomery Catholic. Because I didn't think anybody beat Catholic. I didn't. I just
huge
didn't think
win.
It was huge win.
Huge win. Huge win.
All right, let's move to the 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. game. 3 a.m. That would be early in the morning. It'll be 2A, BB Comer and Fife. We know Fife comes in, and I think the only undefeated team in the state, right?
Yep.
It is going to be a tough job for BB Comer. This could be, and I know the connections you have with BB Comer, Rick, but it's a pretty easy pick for me.
Yeah, and I can't pick this game either because I have that game as well. So, and I'm not going to pick it. My heart would tell me to pick one, sure.
My heart tells me to pick Comer, but
It would be
Fife is just too good.
Yeah.
So, just Mark, you got Fife. I think we're going to go that way. All right. And then, as we mentioned, the final game of the Super 7 Finals will see Mountain Brook and Sarah Land 6A. They will kick off at 7 p.m. next Friday night. Mark, let's go with you.
Oof, boy, I tell you, this is two really good football teams, two really good coaching staffs, two really good communities that support their teams. I don't know enough about Mountain Brook to speak intelligently, except for the fact that isn't this their first year since they dropped down out of 7A?
Yep.
And they're in 6A, which means in the way it looks to me, like when you drop from classification down, the game is a little faster. Each classification you go up in, the game gets faster because there's more players that can run faster. It's just the way it is, in my opinion. And I think once you play at that level, you can, in 6A, you know, 7A is not as tough top to bottom as 6A is. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Sure,
absolutely.
But I think when you play in 7A, when you play the good teams in 7A, the game's really, really fast. And so moving to 6A, I think that's helped Mountain Brook this year. Sarah Land's been playing this deal all year long, and I think Sarah Land right now is playing at a very high, high level. I really do. And I think that they may have the most talent in 6A on a football team. I'm going to take Sarah Land.
And I think it's an interesting game, and I think it's the best game that we've got of the entire Super 7. I think it's too great. You've already mentioned the two coaches. Chris Yeager's done a phenomenal job. Jeff Kelly's record is unflappable. What a great job he's done. The thing about it, they've both got great coaching staffs.
Yes, they do.
They have got tremendous assistant coaches that do tremendous jobs. Got a name that you don't know here, we don't know down in this area, Cole Gamble. We've got a Cole here, but our Cole is at UMS Wright and has been had a tremendous year for the UMS Wright Bulldogs when we talk about Cole Blaylock. But Mountain Brook has a young man that is just a tremendous football player named Cole Gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Cole rushed last night. They go to Muscle Shoals to play a Scott Baisden team who most people in North Alabama thought was the best football team up there. They go to Muscle Shoals and defeat Muscle Shoals handily. Cole Gamble rushes 22 times for 195 yards. You know, this game is almost unpredictable for me because you've got so many really good players, so many good coaches that can make adjustments from series to series. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. My heart tells me to pick Sarah Land. Because they've been there twice. They lost to Clay Chalkwell once. They lost to Pinson Valley, both state champions in state championship games. I love the staff that Jeff Kelly's got. I love the staff that Chris Yeager's got. Both staffs are going to be totally prepared for this game. In the end, it's going to come down to two or three plays in the game. And I just got to think that Ryan Williams, and they call him a Hollywood, they're so young, they don't even know, I don't think, the magnitude of what they're playing in. And that's a good thing. That's a compliment. I just think that the athletic ability of KJ Lacey and Ryan Williams and Sante Williams, I just think they're going to win this football game. I think the thing that Jeff is going to preach this week is finish our job. I got to take Sarah Land in this game.
Going with Sarah Lamb.
Yep.
All right. Well, now, you know, one of the things, too, you mentioned it, it's going to be coming down to one or two plays. I think special teams plays big in this as well. I, too, am going to go with Sarah Lamb, so I think we got a block on that. So, there you go. Mark, you got Sarah Lamb as well, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so all of us go with Sarah Lamb. So, there you go. I think that's our predictions. We'll check them out next week, see how that goes. Rick, now let's talk a little bit about you've got these couple of games coming up on the Super 7.
Yeah, I've got the 4A game and the 2A game, and they're two exciting games, and I'm really excited about being able to call the B.B. Comer game because of through our new show, High School Sports Today, I've had the chance to talk to Adam Fawcett on numerous occasions. Really, really like him. But listen, I like all of these guys. Our new show has given me the opportunity to rekindle some old relationships and to get to know these teams well. I feel like I know all four of those teams, Cherokee County, Andalusia, B.B. Comer, and Fife, very well, and excited to be a part of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network.
And if someone wants to listen to those games, they can do that.
Yeah, but let me tell you one of the things that I got to tell you. The Alabama Public Television Network is going to show all of these games on TV. And I highly recommend that people watch these games because this is something that Georgia's been doing for years, right, Mark?
Yep.
And so now we have worked that out to be able to show these games on television, something that we've never been able to do in Mobile because the TV stations just didn't feel like it was worth the time.
An investment.
An investment to put on the air. Now you can go to your local Alabama Public Television station and you can watch all of these games. I don't know what stations are on the AHSA. There's like 48 different stations that carry the AHSAA radio network, but I don't know which one.
It's all you can go to. You can go to AHSAA. It'll tell you on that .com.
Yeah. And you
it'll
can go to their website and listen to it.
You can go there and listen. Yeah. And by the way, the Alabama Mississippi All Star game will be on December the 10th. You won't be able to do that because you're having surgery.
Right.
I'll be doing the play by play. Our buddy Coach Barry Gibson will be handling the color. We're excited about doing that. And that's going to happen over at Hancock Whitney Stadium, obviously home of the South Alabama Jaguars. Happy to do that starting at 12 o'clock on December the 10th. Once you get through with that, if you like golf, you got the match that's going to be on. You got Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods taking on JT and Jordan Spieth. So,
well, and the other thing is you and Barry are also going to do the North-South game. Y'all do that on December 16th. And, and I can't do the 10th game because I have a basketball tournament.
Yep.
And then the 16th, of course, I'll have surgery. But I'm excited about y'all doing it. It's a wonderful
We will have fun. Thing. Thank you for that opportunity. Will. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, Mark, you're up. It's the Grace segment right here on PSR.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, many years ago, famous writer Ralph Waldo Emerson made the statement, a famous quote. He says, "It is not the destination, it is the journey that matters." And that's something that I think we have talked about on this show quite a bit. And as we get this time of year, it becomes more and more prevalent in the lives of people around us, in our own lives. It is not the destination that matters. Because I remember taking a trip with Michelle and Brian a few years ago going up to Appalachian State to watch Troy play App State. And we took Bryant with us, and it was our first time to really go off into the mountains. And we had the best time going up there, and then getting there was great. You know, getting back home was going to be – but we went – part of that trip, we went to Grandfather Mountain. And it was snowing, you know. Bryant had never really actually seen it snow like that. And snow was coming down. We just had I'm just telling you, it was a great trip. The journey itself was just wonderful. The journey back home was great. Going through different mountains, stopping at places and looking at what some of God's creation there in the Appalachian Mountains is, was a wonderful thing. As we look at, and I've talked about this before, Rick and I, you and Randy, we've all talked about it. As we watch high school teams come and go throughout their years in high school, and if you've been doing this long enough, you see that, you know, we've watched a lot of kids graduate from high school and move forward. Many times you'll watch these high school ball games. After the games are over, you'll see the kids on the ground if it's their last game, if they've got beaten. Not so much that they got beat, hurts bad enough, but many of those seniors, that's the last time they're ever going to put a football uniform on. You know, football is not like basketball or soccer or golf or tennis. You can't just go out and play football. You know, you can't. It's pretty much over. You can go out and play some if you want to, but you risk injuries and stuff like that a lot more than you do playing other sports that you're accustomed to playing. Softball, things of that nature. So a lot of their lives, part of their life has come to an end. Part of that thing that they have done since they were kids. I'll take my middle son, Landon. Landon loved playing football more than he loved doing just about anything. That was his deal. He loved playing football. He loved everything about it. He would drive our trainer crazy on game day, because he'd go in there at the last minute, always late getting there, and then he wanted to have everything taped
He wanted to have this tape, his wrist tape, his ankles tape, spat it up, all that stuff. Boy, he says, I go, "Lane, what are you doing?" He goes, "Dad, you got to look good if you're going to play good." You know, I'm like, "Oh, whatever.
I like that.
That's the way. That's his belief. Now, I'm just telling you. And I think he got that from one of our players at Faro, Brian Richardson, who I think he got that from because he had more tape on him than anybody. But he loved it. He loved the game of football. He really did. I look at my life when I was a kid. That's what I loved too. I loved playing football. I was not a great football player. I wasn't even a good – I was a very average football player. But I was wanted to keep playing when it ended. I remember walking on the field at Milton Frank Stadium when the game ended. We lost to Decatur in the quarterfinals of the playoffs. And I remember standing there on the field, looking at the field going, "This is the last time. I'm never going to get to do this again. You know, I'll never get to do this. This is what I have watched and played and coached and now coached football all this time. But at that time, that day, I was like, God, this is it." But you know what? That was just a part of the journey. That was just a part of my life. And as I watch these seniors play their last ball game, I see them lay down on the ground crying. They're realizing that this part of their life has come to an end. Our job is to pick them up and say, "Hey, this is just part of the journey. What it took you to get to where you are right now, you got to take that and put it in other parts of your life, because that's what's coming up in your work life. If you go to college, when you get married and have a family, you got to work at it. All of those things are part of the journey. The destination is to, when I get to that destination, that I can hear my Lord and Savior tell me, 'Welcome, my good and faithful servant.'" That's, you know, that's something that's the destination. What I do in that in-between time is all what we're supposed to be doing, is making the best we can and doing the best we can at what we do, and not taking every day for granted, not taking our health for granted, not taking anything for granted. Understand that those kids, when they finish that basketball game in February, when they finish those wrestling matches or those golf matches, when that's over, they just take another step in their life. They just go to another part. But it's going to be tough for them, and we got to be sympathetic to that as coaches, and we got to make sure that we know that that kid taking that next step is moving toward the destination, and that part of his journey was something he learned from and that he'll cherish for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Boy, that's pretty strong, Mark. And, when you're traveling and that destination is in front of you, like we're all traveling, and there's one of my favorite books is called The Road Less Traveled, and he talks about in there, the opening line is, "Life is difficult, but if you reach the destination that you set your goal to reach, then you'll hear those words, 'Good job, my good and faithful servant. Welcome home.'" Wow. That's good stuff, pal. Good stuff. Y'all want to open the can of worms? Is that what y'all want to do? I know y'all are both sitting
well,
here.
Well, Mark rushed through his segment pretty quick.
Wait a minute. I didn't rush.
No, he didn't. So go ahead.
But I saw the prodding sticks both of y'all had.
The big cane with a hook was coming at you.
I'm just kidding, y'all. I'm just kidding.
Open it up. Open it up. Let's do the prediction.
Well, I think there's some great coaches that are going to be coaching in this Super 7, and I'm excited for all of these guys. And I'd love to be able to share that with you, but we'll share that next week. Yeah, there's a huge game at Bryant-Denny Stadium today, and I know we're a high school show, but we'll certainly go there. Go ahead, Randy. Make your prediction.
I'm going to say it's a little closer than most people probably think.
It's a 22-point spread.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be a little closer than that.
Okay.
All right. I think it's probably going to be somewhere around 23-19.
I got Alabama 28-14. I think Alabama's the best football team, but I think Auburn's riding a wave of emotion, and Alabama's got to play better if they're going to win this one.
No, I just don't think emotion can carry you to victory when you're playing on the opponent's field. I think Alabama wins the game 42-17, and it's It's just it's a slobber knocker for a half.
It'll be fun to watch.
Guys, I want to tell you how much I appreciate what you guys have done. And just to Randy, thank you and Mark so much. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time.